You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Manchester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
Here's the statement. I believe that most of us want to see increase. I would imagine that for most of us in the room today, we would like to see increase in pretty much every area of our lives. I'd imagine for most of us today that if you signed on to your banking profile tomorrow, that you'd be excited if there was an increase in your financial situation. Give me a wave if you want more money in your bank account. We'd want increase. But I also imagine that you'd want more increased intimacy in your family, closer relationships. I trust that you'd want to be closer to your family, closer to your kids, closer to your spouse, that you'd want to have a deeper sense of commitment and trust and understanding, perhaps. You'd like to be able to have an increased intimacy. But I'd also imagine that you'd like to have increase in your uni results. If you're studying, you'd like to get better results this term than next. Next term than this, and this year than last. And you'd want to see something change. You'd want to see increase in all that you do. But I think most of all, you'd want to see increase in your intimacy with God. That there's an intimacy that you would want to see deepen your relationship, your trust, your faith, your ability to hear His voice. Because increase matters. Increase matters. But increase doesn't only matter to us, it matters to God. And God not only wants increase in our lives, He's promised it. And therein lies such an important principle, because if you want to see increase, we've got to realize that God wants increase in your life, but has promised it. And there was a guy called Isaiah in history, not one of the most unknown people by any stretch, a powerful prophet, a man who was given insights for the Israel nation. Isaiah had a gift to communicate to this nation of Israel what God intended to do, and his prophecies were fulfilled. In fact, he saw into the future all the way up to the birth and death of Jesus Christ. He was a powerful man because of the anointing of God on his life. And he made this statement that I believe is not just true for the church, but it's true for the city. It's true for us personally. It's true for our families and our businesses. It's true for us in every context. And it comes from Isaiah 54, verse 2. And when it comes up on the screen, I'd love for you to just say the first three words with me. Are you ready? Here it is. Increase is coming. Say one more time with me. Increase is coming. That is a declaration. It is also a promise. So God is saying to us, increase is coming. I want to bring more increase into your life and all of the things that we desire that go with it. But this increase isn't without condition. So often as we walk with Christ, we like the promises that He gives us, but all too often we ignore the condition that is attached to that promise. And here's the condition, the next word. So, enlarge your territory. Enlarge. You see, if you and I are going to see the gifting of God poured out, we need to increase our capacity to hold it. Increase is coming. Yes, increase is coming. That's wonderful. But what's more important? We need to enlarge our heart. We need to enlarge our context. We need to enlarge our worlds. We need to be enlarged. Enlarge your tent. What does that look like? What does that look like for you? Think for a moment about the beauty of pregnancy. When a woman falls pregnant, she has to enlarge to hold the life that is conceived within her. The promise of new life comes as a result of an enlarged womb. Here's what's so important. If we want to see the increase that is conceived within each and every one of us, we need to enlarge our lives to be able to house the growth that is about to come. And I believe wholeheartedly tonight that increase is coming, not just to Audacious Church, not just to Manchester, but to each and every one of you in every context, all of our lives. Increase, say it with me, increase is coming. So what do we need to do? We need to enlarge a tent. Isaiah says, then you need to extend the dwelling. But then he says something really, really powerful. Next three words. Here's the crux of what we're going to be talking about tonight. He says this, hold nothing back. You see, if we see that there's increase coming, we need to recognize, of course, that if increase is coming, we've got to enlarge. But that enlargement requires each and every one of us to hold nothing back. To hold nothing back. I want to use an illustration, just a thought for a moment that sends, that puts this into context. If you look at the world of gambling, and by no context am I suggesting that we should gamble at all, I'm just painting a picture. When you look at gambling, someone who's got a hand that they believe in, a set of cards that they're holding that they believe is a powerful hand, they are tempted to take all of their chips, all of their money, and gamble it all by going all in order to secure the power of what they believe they have are holding in their hands. But that's gambling. Huge risk. But when we understand the power of who God is in our lives, and God is promising us increase, it's not a gamble at all. Because when we go all in for God, we recognize that increase is not only wanted, it's promised. And you and I can go all in for Jesus in every context and every scenario of our lives. Why do we know that? Because the very next verse says, you will see increase. You will spread out in every direction. I wonder today how much you want to spread out. Do you want your influence to increase? Audacious Church's influence is increasing and spreading across the globe, and each and every one of us share a part of that, but I do want to encourage you to influence not just the people that live right next door. Your neighbors matter, but there's other neighbors, and there's their neighbors and their neighbors, and you and I need to increase our influence. And the reason that we can be so sure, so convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that God wants increase in our lives is as simple as this. God loves us. God loves us. Paul, one of the great leaders in history, he started off as Saul, as many of you would know. He was really working against the will of God in the context of his life, and he had an encounter with Jesus so powerful that it caused increase in his world. He stepped into an increased influential world. And as a result of that, he started to plant churches and add value to people. And he was talking at one point through a letter he wrote to a church that was about 2 to 3 years old, we believe. A church in Thessalonica. And he was writing to this church because he wanted them to understand a couple of thoughts. Two important principles that if we can understand, change everything. Look at this. It'll come up on the screen behind you. He said this. It is clear to us, friends. In other words, there was no doubt in his mind. It is clear to us, friends, that God not only loves you, but, say but, not only loves you, but he has his hand on you for something special. In other words, God doesn't only love us, he wants to bless us. He doesn't only love us, he wants to bless us. He wants to bring increase. And knowing that is very powerful in our walk with Jesus. Because if we know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, God loves us despite our flaws, despite our weaknesses, despite our shortcomings, the many times we get it wrong, the hurts that we've caused ourselves and others, if we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he loves us despite all of that, and he wants to bless us on top of that, it gives us the courage to rise every time we fall. I'd imagine that there are some of us in the room tonight that have got it wrong recently, that you've made a mistake. And we could be tempted in the midst of this mistake to withdraw, afraid that maybe God is so annoyed that he's going to remove blessing, but that's not God. God doesn't want to remove anything. He wants to add to your life. And if you and I can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he wants to bless us, even though we get it wrong, it gives us the courage to stand up when we fall and to stand strong when it's difficult. There are many of us that go through difficulties every single day. I wonder how difficult it is to get up in the morning for some of us. When you look at the circumstance, a difficult marriage, maybe you're struggling at uni or at school, maybe there's some difficulties you're facing in the workplace, and when you know that God loves you beyond measure, when he wants to bless you despite the things we get wrong, it gives us the courage to have hope when the rest of us are hopeless. But also knowing this gives us this quiet humility that wins the heart of God and wins the heart of others. And that's when we start to see increase. We start to see increase because God loves us and he wants to bless us. So if we want to see that increase, we need to enlarge. There's a flow chart that's going to come up on the screen, and it's an interesting picture of what is necessary. If you look at this flow chart, it's increase is coming. So if we need to see increase, it requires enlargement. How do we enlarge? Well, we hold nothing back. When we enlarge, we hold nothing back. And that holding of nothing back, every part of us is devoted to the process at hand. We start to see our lives strengthened. We start to become more powerful in the way we live and more influential in the way we conduct our lives, which leads, of course, back to increase. And the cycle repeats itself. So increase is coming, but what do we need to do? We need to enlarge. How? By holding nothing back. Which means that we need to go all in. And that's the title of tonight's message. We need to go all in. All in. Be willing to give of yourself. Be willing to go all the way. Hold nothing back. Go all in. And over the remaining time we have, I'm going to give you five principles, five thoughts, five ideas that will help us to live all in. Five principles that if we apply just really simple thoughts, it'll make all the difference. I've got a bunch of volunteers that are going to come up on the platform. They're holding some boards. I'm going to take you through this journey. And it's really important that I want to encourage each and every one of us to open up our minds to this idea of going all in. So look at the person next to you and say, all in. Look at the person on the other side and say, you're going all in. Because here's the secret to our lives being more effective. All in. Hello, guys. There we go. Look at them. Fine young men and women. All in. All in. And I just need to check that this is in the right place. Yes, you've got the right one. Good job. Have you got the right one? It's the only A. You've got the right one. So we're all ready. So you're ready. So this is all in. And each and every one of us, if we can get our minds around this thought, we're going to see breakthrough in our world. You ready? Here's the A. If you could turn the A around, it says we need to be available. We need to be available. We're going to spend a little bit of time here, probably more on this than the rest, because being available is the basis of everything we do for Jesus. We need to be available. Availability is the pathway to progress, to stepping into opportunity. Availability changes a great deal in our lives. Look at this about this idea of being available. It's really important to remember that when we look at the definition of available, it talks of the idea that we are making ourselves available to be used. And that's not an exciting thought, is it? None of us want to be used, but when we look at it in the context of what God wants to do within us, we can realize this simple idea. That God blesses every one of us who is willing and available. God is not looking for perfection. He's looking for availability. We don't need to be particularly gifted. We don't need to have the greatest gifting in any sphere of life. But if we are available, we position ourselves for what God has for us. You need to be available. You need to be available in worship. If you look at the construct of what we've done tonight and worshiped up front in the services, it's because you're available to do that. We could be sitting at home, but you made yourself available for worship. When you're driving in traffic, you can make yourself available for worship. I would suggest with your eyes open, closed eyes in traffic, not always helpful. Keep your eyes open, but worship. Make yourself available. Are you available for your spouse? Are you available for your kids? Are you available to go to lectures? Are you available? We need to be available because availability paves the way for the opportunities we need to see. It's a key that opens the door to all that God has for us. God uses us, frequently blesses us when we are available. And I want to tell you a story about the power of availability. About a year and a half ago, 18 months ago, a family in our church had their 18-month-old son kidnapped. Not from church, from their home. And the construct of the situation was such that they had to get, obviously, the police involved, investigators, hostage negotiators, and all sorts of people that became involved in the process. I can't give you too much detail simply because the court case is still running. But this little 18-month-old child was kidnapped. And the family started going through a process of recovery. There were police from all different specialities involved. There were volunteer organizations involved. And there was the Connect group that was involved. Now, I know you call them life groups and audacious, but for our context, the life group had a group of people in it who went out of their way to take care of this family through one of the most traumatic experiences I think a parent can face. And they would rock up at the house with food and meals. They would take time off work and pray with them in their homes. But not only that, they started to serve the police force as they started working. They would drive to the police station, find out who the investigators were, taking them coffee and meals as they worked around the clock to try and recover this little child. And there were a lot of us involved, and I was there for many nights, right through the night, praying with them as well, and we'd do whatever we could to serve the police as they were doing their job. And every day, more and more people got involved. In fact, more and more people made themselves available for supporting and caring for this family. Soon the house was filled with different people from different connect groups and different parts of our church, and it was beautiful to see. And when one particular evening, the day, in fact, that this little boy was found, I was standing in the room, this lounge room, with all of these police and activity, and the parents were there, and it was really, really desperate. And this policeman walked up to me, a senior official in the police, and he looked at me and he said, "Are all of these people Christian?" To which I responded, "Yes, those I know in this room are Christian." He said, "Listen, did they all come to your church?" I said, "Yes, each and every one of them come to this church." And then he said something I'll never forget. He looked at me and he went, "So this is what Jesus looks like." You see, availability reflects Jesus. Availability reflects Jesus in our walk, in our talk, in our actions, in our hardships, in our difficulties, in our fears. Availability reflects Jesus. Think of the fact that Jesus made himself available. God with skin on made himself available to be crucified. Joseph made his tomb available for Jesus to be buried within it. Little did he know is that 3 days later, Jesus made that tomb available again when he resurrected from the dead. You see, availability is a reflection of Jesus. Are you available? Are you available for those around you? Can I encourage you to be available to your boss? Be available to your suppliers, your customers. Be available to your church. Be available in every context. Don't let the busyness of life restrict the actions that can hold you back and prevent you from being all that God has called you to be. Because if you and I want to walk into this increase, the enlargement requires our availability. Be available. Being available is the first step in seeing so much change in every context. Husbands, be available for your spouse. Wives, be available for your husbands. Be available for your children. Be available. Don't be put off by the difficulties you face. You being helped tonight? Be available. The second point that we need to bear in mind, the second principle that we need to hold up is the second point is L. Live expectantly. Live expectantly. I wonder how much expectancy we have for things around us. Live expectantly. Have you thought about your expectancy? What do you expect from God? What do you expect for God? What do you expect for your kids and from your kids? I think so often as parents, I know we get this wrong in South Africa, but I know in England you're perfect, you don't do this, but in South Africa we get this wrong. We sometimes only compliment our children when they get good results. But you know what we need to do as well? We need to have expectancy for them, not just of them. Expect God's blessing on their lives. What do you expect in your business? What do you expect in your spiritual walk? What do you expect in every context? Expectancy is beautiful. It's the anticipation of receiving something. It's the idea that God wants to do something in your life, so you increase your expectation. Expectation changes the way we view life. There's a Chinese proverb that says, "He who expects much and he who expects little gets what he expects." So what's your expectation? What do you expect in your marriage? What do you expect in your finances? When you walk into the office, expect blessing. Don't walk around expecting the worst. When you get up in the morning, you have to sit in the Manchester traffic. Don't expect the worst. Expect that this is going to be the best traffic day of your life. Change your expectation. William Carey, the British missionary in the 1700s, said this: expect great things from God. And then he said something profound: attempt great things for God. That stems from this idea that expectancy matters. Paul, again, writing to another new church, the church in Philippi, in Philippians 1 verse 20, says, "For I fully expect," not "I'm thinking about it" or "I hope," "I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ. Do you expect boldness in your life? Do you expect to see things change? And if you go back to that kidnapping situation, although it was traumatic and there was lots of angst, obviously the fear and the despair was tangible, but balancing that all out was a group of people that had huge expectation of God's provision. Can I encourage us tonight? No matter what you're facing, because I can't possibly know what's going on in your world, but can you have an expectation for God's provision? Expect bigger things, expect more in God's life. Increased expectancy leads to increased boldness and faith. And let's not forget that faith is heaven's currency. If you're looking to transact with heaven, we need the currency of faith to transact more and more. So increase the level of your expectation. So let's not forget, we need to be available. Secondly, we need to live expectantly. Third, we need to live enthusiastically. Live enthusiastically. Oh, I love enthusiasm. You've got to be enthusiastic about everything. Enthusiasm, two Greek words. En, theos, God within. So enthusiasm is a reflection of God within. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you've chosen to give your life to Him, then enthusiasm is part now of your DNA. There needs to be zest in your life. There needs to be energy. When you move to the bathroom, move with passion. When you get up in the morning, wake up, throw off your covers and say, good morning. Not, oh, good morning. When you're going out, gents, and your wife has dressed up and she comes out of the bedroom dressed to the nines, don't use that four-letter word. The swear word that matches all other four-letter words. Nice. Honey, you look nice. No, man. You must go, whoa. Whoa. You are gorgeous, stunning, breathtaking. In fact, I'm going to phone them up. We're going to be a little late. There needs to be zeal and energy and enthusiasm. Be enthusiastic about everything. Be enthusiastic about your kids. When your kids shoot at goal and they miss, get enthusiastic. Oh, that was the best miss I've ever seen. Be excited about life. Be enthusiastic. When you worship, worship enthusiastically. When you give, give enthusiastically. When you celebrate, celebrate enthusiastically. Be excited, because enthusiasm changes the game. It's a game changer. You can turn your very boring, miserable existence into a powerful, uplifting moment by simply being enthusiastic. Be enthusiastic. Be enthusiastic in every context. Norman Vincent Peale said this: enthusiasm makes ordinary people extraordinary. Why? Because enthusiasm unlocks potential that is caged by lethargy and the ordinary. The difference between extraordinary people and ordinary people isn't gifting. It's not luck. More often than not, it's enthusiasm. You can have enthusiasm with less skill in an organization, and because of your enthusiasm, it makes up for that lack of skill. Enthusiastic people are teachable. Enthusiastic people are trainable. Enthusiastic people are always willing to do more. Because if you're available and you live expectantly and you choose to live with enthusiasm, then God can work with any part of your fault or weakness or shortcoming, elevate you to new seasons, and you can see more and achieve more. But it starts with enthusiasm. I woke up this morning forgetting that I was not in South Africa. And I opened the curtains to rain. Again. And it was awesome. We don't get a lot of rain like this in South Africa. It rains, ish. So we opened up the windows and the rain was falling on the windows and I went, yes, I haven't seen rain like this in a long time. Then the sun came out for 3 minutes. I was, yes, there comes the sun. I love it. And then we went out to lunch today and it was sunshine as we walked from the car to the restaurant. We sat down and the rain was gone. A few minutes later, the rain was back. A few moments after that, the rain was gone. And I asked the guys with me, I said, hey, listen, does it ever stop doing this? They go, no, this is Manchester. So I asked why. There's a scientific reason, I forget. But it was amazing. Be enthusiastic about everything. If it's going to rain, be enthusiastic about it. Be enthusiastic. Give me help today. Enthusiasm makes the world of difference. Find reasons to be enthusiastic. When you wake up in the morning, find a reason. If your coffee's cold, it's the best iced coffee you've ever had. Be enthusiastic. You've been helped? Be available. Live expectantly. Third, live enthusiastically. Now here we go. I, be intentional. Be intentional. If you and I are going to step into the promises of God and the increase that He has promised, we need to be intentional about enlargement. Intentionality is powerful. Intentionality is the idea that we are going to put effort into things carefully, on purpose, and deliberately take a set of changes or course of action that shifts how we live our lives. For example, if you want to lose weight, you need to be intentional. You cannot be whimsical about losing weight. I've tried that. And as you can tell, it's failing. You need to be intentional. You need to be intentional about what words you use, how you speak of others. Be intentional. Be intentional about your disciplines. Be intentional about your physicality, your exercise. Be intentional about making time to hear from God. None of us are going to be particularly successful in life if the only time we open the Word of God is when it comes up on a screen in church context. We need to go home and be intentional. Make an appointment with Jesus. Open up your Bible. Find a quiet spot and be intentional. Intentionality is the crux of getting things done, because haphazard results follow a lack of intentionality. But with intentionality, we can start to see predictable successes. Be intentional. Be intentional about your calendar. How many of us look around the context of our lives wondering whether Sunday night church is something worth doing or whether there's something else on that could be more exciting? Can I encourage you to be intentional? Don't pencil it into your diary, so to speak. Pin it into your diary. Lock it into your diary. Make Sunday night church something you're intentional about. It's early. You can go out afterwards. Have fun. But be intentional. Be intentional with your family. Be intentional with your business. Be intentional with your studies. Be intentional with Jesus. Be intentional. Paul, again, writing to the Colossian church, said, put your heart and soul into every activity you do. Heart and soul, that's intent. Heart and soul, as if you were serving God, not merely men. You see, if you're putting your heart into the context of everything that you do, you start to see things change. Be intentional. Be intentional about everything. When you and I are intentional, we see successes. Number five, know that nothing is impossible for God. Know that nothing is impossible for God. You see, we can be available. It's easy to be available once we've made a decision to be available. It's easy to live expectantly once we choose to change the levels of our expectation. And enthusiasm just takes practice. Being intentional takes discipline. But without knowing that nothing is impossible for God, the others are fruitless. Because you and I can be available for anything, but if we still doubt in the blessing and favor of God, then that availability has no real result. If you're expectant and enthusiastic and intentional, but you still are concerned about whether God really can do what He's promised, you will never step forward. It's easy at times to believe that God wants us to know that we're loved. It's just not always that easy to believe that God does the impossible. When you and I face challenges, and we will, when we and I face challenges, we face it with a question. The question is, what is possible or not? And that leans heavily on whom you trust. Because if you and I want to see our lives transformed, we cannot put our trust solely in humanity. Human wisdom, even the smartest of us in the room, no matter where we are, even the smartest of us in the room have limitation. Our wisdom is limited to our intellect, to our experience, to our insight, to the exposures we have. And if we want to truly see God's increase after we start enlarging, it's recommended that we stretch in the area of belief. Know that nothing is impossible. Know that nothing is impossible. Think of one other account in history. A young girl. We're not quite sure how old she was. Commentators believe somewhere between 14 and 17. Talking of Mary, modern Manchester context, she was in her apartment in the bathroom putting makeup on. When Gabriel the archangel appeared in her room, that must have been pretty freaky. And then he started painting to Mary this picture that seemed a little impossible. And he paraphrased, said this to her, you're going to have a son. You're going to fall pregnant. And she would have no doubt thought in the moment, but that is impossible because I have not been intimate with a man. And I imagine that Gabriel, like a wise father, may have said it like this, sweetheart, sweetheart, nothing is impossible for God. In Luke 1:36, we see it. Not one promise. Not one promise of God is empty of power. Not one promise of God is empty of power. Come on, church. Not one promise of God is empty of power. Not one promise of God is empty of power. And he said, for nothing, say with me, nothing, nothing is impossible for God. The disease you have can be cured because nothing is impossible for God. The financial situation you're struggling with can be restored because nothing is impossible for God. The worries you have about your future are nothing in God's hands because nothing is impossible for God. The doubt you have about tomorrow, the worries about next year, the scary things that you're facing are nothing in the hands of God because nothing is impossible for God. Which means that we go all the way back to the prophecy from Isaiah 54. When Isaiah said this, increase is coming. Church, can you hear that? Increase is coming. Increase is coming. And that's not a fake promise. Because not one promise of God is empty of power. Which means that no matter where you find yourself tonight, no matter what you're facing, no matter the enormous difficulties you may face as you step into the day tomorrow, increase is coming. And nothing is impossible for God. Never forget, never ever forget that nothing is impossible for God. Which means that there's no excuse for any of us. Because for each and every one of us, we can go all in. Come, let's pray. Father, I thank you for all that you do. I thank you that tonight we can step into this moment ready to receive all that you have for us. Thank you for the increase you've promised, Father. We thank you for that. We thank you that you're pouring out more into each and every one of us. Church, while you're in this moment, I truly feel that there are some of you that need to believe in that increase. If you truly tonight, desperately, want to walk in the increase that God has promised, why don't you just stand to your feet? Maybe there's a worry that you have that's holding you back. Maybe there's a frustration that's scaring you and you need a little bit of help to go beyond this. I want to encourage you today, quickly stand to your feet. This is your moment to go all in. It's your moment to be available. It's your moment to live expectantly. It's your moment to live with enthusiasm. It's your moment to be intentional about the actions you're about to take. And it's so important that you remember that nothing is impossible for God. Father, I pray for every person standing tonight. I pray that you'll do something. Holy Spirit, work in the lives of everyone in this room. Touch every life. Touch every family.